Well, dear people, as we come to the Word of God this morning, you're aware that what we are doing, we're looking at the Confession of Faith, and we're dealing with the section which I've entitled, The Biblical Work of Salvation in the Heart of Man. And we find that that works from chapter 10 of our Confession of Faith. If you have a confession, will you please turn in now? If you do not, you can open the back of your Bibles and you can turn to the page 676, I believe it is. And then you could find the very aspect of where we're looking at, the effectual calling, justification, and so on and so forth. Now, as we look to this, I mean, back of your hymnal, did I say back of your Bibles? Well, I got my help over there, put me on track. In the back of your hymnals, and that's in page 676 where we are. We're actually on 677, but we're looking at sanctification. But you see, there are five chapters before us here. We have the effectual calling, justification, adoption, sanctification, saving faith. And then it even goes on to the next page, repentance unto life and salvation. We're in that 13th chapter on sanctification. Now, we've looked at so far in this chapter, we dealt with the first paragraph, and now this morning we're going to pick up at the second paragraph. But what I want to do, let's read it beginning in the first paragraph, and as we go down, and we can see the way our reformers have laid this out and understand what they're saying here. Chapter 13, beginning at paragraph 1. They who are united to Christ, effectually called and regenerated, having a new heart and a new spirit created in them through the virtue of Christ's death and resurrection, are also further sanctified, really and personally, through the same virtue by his word and spirit dwelling in them. The weakened and mortified, the domination of the whole body and sin is destroyed, and the several lusts thereof are more and more weakened and mortified, and they more and more quickened and strengthened in all saving graces to the practice of all true holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, chapter paragraph 2 is what we'll pick up today. This sanctification is throughout in the whole man, yet imperfect in this life. There abideth still some remain or remnants of corruption in every part, which arises in continual and irreconcilable war. The flesh lusting against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Now, as we look at this and understand what our reformers are saying, and remember, what we have in our confession of faith is not man's idea. What we have is the Bible itself put forth on us and showing us how we are saved and how we are to live as men and women of faith, and then show how the Holy Spirit himself and Christ is working in us. Now, this morning in this chapter, we find, as we look in paragraph 2, this sanctification is throughout in the whole man, yet imperfect in this life. There abideth still some remnants of corruption in every part, which arises a continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Now, the first phrase in this paragraph, this sanctification is throughout in the whole man, yet imperfect in this life. When we are confession, our confession says this sanctification, it is not only speaking about the change that has taken place in the soul, but also is making it clear that every part of the Christian is sanctified, meaning set apart to God. We looked at the truth and what they mean when it's a sanctification. And we saw that God himself, when he worshiped those who would come to him, even in the old economy, things that were used for worship were set apart for God's service and for his service alone. all the implements of worship, even in the very place of worship itself, and all that was given, that was set apart to him. Now we're seeing that now, what the scriptures are teaching us, that we ourselves as Christians are set apart for the service of God and for God only. And that's what we have to understand. And this is what the Bible teaches us. And this also is what our confession is teaching us. He says this, oh, we are what we have now, this fight that's going on. And says, first of all, we are sanctified, set apart. It is in total and completely set apart to the service of God. You and I must understand our service when God takes us, and now we are saved by what he has done in our lives. We do not serve the world, serve self. We are for the service of God alone. The Christian is entirely sanctified, meaning all that he and she is totally and completely set apart for God. And brethren, that's something that we got to get used to. And that's something that we have to understand. Because it's not a little bit of us for ourselves, for our own pleasure. A little bit of a world for us and for our own pleasure. No, all of us is for the service of God. And he goes on, and that the Christian is in a human ability, and all his intellect and all his emotions are to be used for the glory of God. Every part of us is to be used for God's glory and God's glory alone. Though the Christian has the deep desire to live to the glory of God, he never reaches that goal in this life. Romans 7 and 24, wretched man that I am, the Apostle Paul is saying, who will set me free from the body of this death? Paul is indicating that as he lives, he knows there's a war going on inside of him. And that war is the very thing that causes him not to be able to do the things he wants to do. But Paul understands that there is something that is going on, and that there is not only this war, but God in his spirit is working with him also. He says in verse 11 of Romans chapter 8, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. You see, the Christian faith is not a religion where we put something up in our heads. We learn a few words about the Bible and we learn some understanding about walking with Christ, and it's up here and that's it. No, that's not what it is. It's a hard change. Men and women change. Remember what we said when we looked at that? We looked at how the process is done and how we come to God himself. And it's by God and his work alone. Effectually, he called us before the foundation of the world. He justified us. And that is by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ went to the cross, all our sins were placed upon him. And now God can look at us and say, justified. But he went on and he adopted us into his family, making us his children. And as we in that adopted state and his children, now he's doing the work of sanctification in us. And dear people, you and I, this is what we must see and understand, that this is what's going on. You and I who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, belong to God the Father, we are set apart for his service and his service only. Confession goes on. There abideth still some remnants of corruption in every part, which arises a complete war, you can say, a continual and irreconcilable war in the soul of man. Now, what he's saying here is that we have not been thoroughly cleansed of our sin nature. We still have it. The corruption that we have because of Adam's sin still remains in us. And the remaining sin affects us in every area of our life, our humanity, our human ability, our intellect, our emotions, and all of our actions and desires are affected by this war. There abideth still, It says in a confession, abides here. It means it could say lives, remain, residence is there, taking up residence. There is still remaining sin in us, dear people. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you notice how even the apostle can go in and he can indicate what is taking place. And he says, as we come to this portion, basically, Paul is speaking how excellent love is in the beginning of the chapter in ministering how we should live. But then he goes on, and how he ends off this way. He says how we should live and everything that must be done. He says, notice what he says, although we have all this battle going on, and I'll just say, look at the 13th verse, but now faith, hope, love abideth these things, but the greatest of these is love. Here's what he's saying, love abides, and that's what the idea of the word is. It remains, love is still there. Love is the main thing. And in John chapter, 1 John 3 and 6, it says something similar, but I won't turn there. But he says there's some remnants of corruption in every part. Oh, dear people, he's telling us, even in our imagination, there's remnants of corruption. Even in our feelings, with our own thing, there's corruption. In our speech, in our action, there's corruption. What he mean by remnants, it is what is left, referring to the people, meaning some remaining. This is we find in the Old Testament. This is something that lives in us. It has not been totally and completely cleared out. You know, when you want to do something, you want to get something done and done thoroughly, you want to clean it all out. You ladies here, as you homemakers, when you're doing something, you make sure you clean it all out. And sometimes we men do the same thing. We got to clear it all out. But God is saying, in us, sin is not cleaned all out. It's still there. It's in us. And he says here, what happens is, which arises a continual and irreconcilable war. It rises up. It is probably best defined this way, is that it breaks out. Meaning that there is a continual war in our soul, which is produced by the remaining sin that is constantly fighting against our spiritual desire to live according to the word of God. We have this fight. Paul says in Romans 7 and 18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. In verse 23, he says, but I see a different law, in my member of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. And Paul can go, oh, wretched man that I am, what's going to save me from the body of this death? In other words, he knows this is what's going on. He lives, he says, and he understands, while I'm desiring to do everything that I want to do for God, there is this desire in this flesh pushing away, trying its best to come up and cause me to sin. Those who are saved and sanctified by God, meaning that they are given to God for his service. Keep that in mind. Not for our service, but for his service. Remaining sin rises up in a war against the new spiritual life we now have due to the work of the Holy Spirit, which has made us God's possession and God's possession only. Again, there is a remaining sin in our humanity called the law of my mind. And this is what Paul looks at and he says, that's what it is. We must settle our hearts that remaining sin is a continual battle with the spiritual graces within us and fights against us in our desire to live to the glory of God. We have to come to grips with that. We can't push it off. It's here. It's going to fight us. It's going to be against us for our entire lives, dear people. And this is what he's saying. And he says here, as he ends off in this portion, he goes, he says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Lusting, he says, what it means, to yearn, to desire earnestly, to long for. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. And the only way we can look at the flesh is doing everything it can to get rid of the spirit. Get rid of this part in us that is looking to do everything we desire to do for God. The flesh is fighting against that. But here, the truth is that the spirit also lusts against the flesh. And so therefore, you've got this battle going on. The flesh has a strong desire towards the Holy Spirit, to move him, to get him out, to try his best, to cause us to do the things which would be, that God would say, but he doesn't notice, he'll walk away and leave us. No, he won't. But the Holy Spirit has a strong desire towards the flesh. Can you imagine this battle, dear people? And it is really a battle. It's something that's going on. The flesh has its focus set on the Holy Spirit, trying his best to ward off the biblical truths and blessings being poured out into the soul by the spirit of the spirit in the fighting we have. And what it means is that, dear people, here we are right now. We're worshiping God. We're giving ourselves to God. And there have been many, and sometimes you probably can look in your own life where what's going on from God and his word, the flesh is telling you to think about something else outside of this. That's sin. Sin does that. I don't want to hear what he has to say right now. I don't even want to read what the Bible is saying right now. I want you to get away from that. But in the same time, the Holy Spirit has his focus set upon the flesh. In other words, shut up. Holy Spirit fighting against all the sin that remains in the body. That fight against our desire to live according to the word of the Spirit. He fights on our behalf. The Spirit is working in us. And dear people, this is what you and I are doing. If anything could happen and causes you and I to move to the place where we find to try to give way to the desires of the flesh and our minds and our hearts, no, the Spirit is going to say, no, that's not what you should do. And brethren, we're going to have that fight. It's not going to end. And it says, Paul says it this way in Galatians 5 and 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. See, this is God's word. This is not man's idea. This is God's word. This is what the Bible says. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit. The flesh is doing everything it's in to stop the spirit, slow down the spirit. The spirit tell you and I, you know, brother, sister, what you should do, go to God in prayer. Well, I can pray later on. Spirit says, pick up your Bible, read and study that passage that just came to your mind. And the flesh says, no, you could do that later on. That's the battle. That's how real it is. And if we don't look and see it that way, we will find ourselves falling and giving way to the flesh. Yes. 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I urge you as alien and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Have you ever thought about it? Is what's going on inside you? Is a real spiritual war? Or have you just thought about, oh, I came to Jesus, and now I'm a sick Christian, and I go to church every now and then, or every Sunday, or whatever. I read my Bible sometime, and that's it. You know, you haven't had that fight in your soul yet? If you haven't, either you're not saved, or you've given up to this flesh to do what he wants you to do. The Bible tells us to turn away from the sins that remains in us, even though it is a battle to do so. Brethren, this is what we have to do. This is what this section, this paragraph is telling us. You and I have to understand there's a war that's going on. We have entered in this by God's grace and God's grace alone. He chose us. He brought us to himself. We now know him. We love him. There's been a change in our hearts. But that change is not complete. Again, remember, sanctified, set aside for God's service only. But in us is this sin, and it's going to fight against us. It's going to tell you and I that, you know what, you don't have to worry so. I like the way one old John Owens put it. He says, sin in us, what it does is actually it stays there. And if we get ready to do all we can to push this sin out, he says, no, you know what, just let me stay a little while. I'll be quiet. I won't show my head when you're around somebody else. And then this could be me and you all by ourselves when we're alone. The flesh does that. The flesh wants to bargain with you and I to continue to live in the sin which remains in us. But dear people, this is what the very paragraph is telling us. This very fight that we have to deal with it. We have to do all we can to get much more power in us to fight against it. And the only way we're going to sustain ourselves as brethren, sisters in the Lord, is fighting this battle. But the first thing we have to do, brethren, we have to be convinced that there is a battle. There's a battle. You know, a lot of people say, oh, Christian life is easy. You just name Christ as your Savior and all that. And they got all kinds of stuff out there too. And he's going to give you everything you want. You're going to have a good life. Not in the scriptures. You become a Christian, you're not going to have a good life. You're going to have a battle for the rest of your life. You're going to be fighting. Sometimes it comes at us in different ways, but you and I must understand this is where we are, dear people. We are not those who are now in some kind of nice situation where we're going along and everything is going to work hunky and dory for us. It is not the case. It will not be hunky dory. It's going to be fight, fight, and continue fight. But as we go on, we'll find that there'll be a prevailing in this fight. But this is what we need to see right now in this only. By the blessing of God, we are no longer spiritually dead. Child of God, think about that. You're not spiritually dead. We have been given new life in Jesus Christ. And that new life in us has a strong desire to live to the glory of God. This is what we are now. We have been changed. There's been a work that has taken place in us that cannot be described in any other way but in a spiritual way. You see, God is real. Salvation is real. Sin is real. Death is real. And the only way there would be something that would come to us that we would stand firm before God is understanding who we are. And oh, dear people, we didn't come this way because we wanted to. You know, no man, woman, boy, or girl will choose Christ. Not on their own. And that's why, even as we look in this very section here, effectual calling. God called those who he was going to save to himself in his own time. And not only that, he justified them. They now, with all the sins that we have committed, dear people, I hope you do look back sometime. Look back at your past life and see what you did. And I hope you look at it and you hate it. And you hate the fact that you lived that and wish you could sometimes go back and change the whole slate. But you can't. But guess what? God loved you anyway. He knew what you were going to do before you were born. And he knew which way, travel you're going to come, which pathway you're going to go down, how you're going to come into the world, who your mother and father would be that come together and bring you into the world. He knew what was going to take place every step of your life as you grew up and the things that you would do and how you would live, how you would even take a job, what job that would be. He was working it all out for your good. because he had you marked out. And then again, too, when we think about it, oh, yes, you came to a point in time and you said, I am a sinner, a wretched, hell-deserving sinner. How can I even look to God and expect anything from God? Even right now, my heart is sometimes given over to sin, you might say. Oh, but you know something? God knew that too. But God took all those sins, dear people. He took every one of them, past, present, and future. And he put them on his son, Jesus Christ. And he went to the cross. And he died. He who was righteous and did nothing wrong, no sin whatsoever, but he became our surety. He went to the cross, died in the place of his people that he would save. And God says, justified. You and I, even right now, we don't even have an idea what sins we may commit down the road. But God says, you are justified. Meaning that you are just as if you never sinned. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Man can't do that. I can't in any kind of philosophical way make this great to you. It would do nothing. If anything is done philosophical, it's only in the head. Spiritual life is in the soul, deep in the soul, dear people. And when that comes to us, we understand God has done something deep in the soul. And not only, again, as I mentioned, not only has he justified us, he adopted us. Men and women, boys and girls, filled of sin, worth nothing. And when we looked at this, you know what adoption is. A family, fine. A little raggedy boy or girl out in the neighborhood, no family. Take that child into their home. Make him his own son or daughter. Give him all the blessings. And that's what he's done to us, dear people. He has taken us, wretched sinners, to himself and made us his own children. And then as we've come to sanctification, now he's working in us all the things that spiritually make us just like him. And it says here, this is what he's doing. And we have to see our ongoing sanctification is working out in us the desire to live more and more to the glory of God. Dear people, if we got a desire to be a Christian, we're going to live more and more to ourselves, we're missing it. Either we're not a Christian or we're just letting sin have control. Because that's what sin's going to do. Sin will tell you that you are all right. And you're going to do fine. Even if it's some little wrong thing you do, nothing's so wrong with that. But you'll know, and I'll know, it's wrong. Our ongoing sanctification is working out in us the desire to live more and more for God's glory. Not only that, the Holy Spirit is helping us gain the victory over remaining sin. We're not doing it by ourselves. You see, this is not a mental thing. This is not a personality thing. This is spiritual. God's doing it. And the Holy Spirit working in us is the one who's given us what we need to continue that fight. Paul says this, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the end intended, dear people. That's what we're working for. That's what he's doing. May God bless you today. May God cause each and every one of us to think what we are. It's not just what is up here. It's really what's in here. And I'm not talking about our heart as a muscle and everything. I'm talking about the soul, deep in the soul. We are alive in the soul. If there's nothing there, we have to go ask God what's going on. Or we need to go to God and get new and real life. So brethren, may God help us. May God let us see. And this week before us, we're going to have a battle. that battle is going to go on day after day. It may be different times. It may be a battle here that we may defeat by the presence of the Holy Spirit, but another battle going to come up. Don't think you're going to walk in this life without fighting sin. May God bless you and be with you. Let us pray. Our blessed God in heaven, we ask your mercy and grace upon us. Lord, as we even read your word and see the truth of it there, Father, but yet still, we can be like the Apostle Paul. We know that there's still sin that resides here, and we are asking our God, and we can say as him, oh, wretched man that I am. And Father, help us by the continual Holy Spirit waging war against our remaining sin to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. So bless us, dear God, and be with us, and keep us, O Lord God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.